This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Let's bring in Ryan Delahanty for the Atlantic Regional Report. He joins us this morning from Halifax, Nova Scotia. Hey, Ryan, thank you so much. Thank you for making time to be with us this morning.
It's been a little while. Glad to be back.
Yeah, it's been a minute. And back in March, you gave us an update on how Halifax is contracting out its new accessibility taxi service that's expected to launch in the fall. Today, you've got some news about a new accessible taxi program coming to Prince Edward Island. So let's get us started here with a bit of the background. Can you tell us about an unfortunate incident that prompted this change?
It happened back in February of 2020, when Paul Cudmore was heading home from a night out at his local Legion in Charlottetown. Unfortunately, at the time, he could not get the ramp of his accessible van to lower, preventing him from driving his power chair up into the driver's seat and driving himself home. May have functioned because it was freezing cold, just under 10 degrees. After 11 p.m., the Legion had just closed, so Paul was freezing without a jacket. It was just a quick duck into the bar and back home. So he tried, but there are no accessible taxis in Charlottetown. And in that moment, he really had no idea how to get home. He called some friends. They were wondering about maybe calling an ambulance to get him home, but he didn't want to abandon his $16,000 power chair outside the Legion in the middle of winter on top of paying some probably pricey ambulance fees. So it was quite a conundrum he found himself in.
So what did he do to get home that night?
One of his friends wound up calling a person that he knew who did drive an inaccessible taxi van. And then three or four of them lifted Paul from his chair, put him in the passenger seat of the van. They drove him home. Those same guys then proceeded to lift his power chair into his own van and lock it up inside the van for the night. He was then, of course, afraid that his van would be towed. So Paul had to call the city, explain the situation. And then he was without his vehicle for about 2 weeks while it was repaired, and left with about a $3,400 bill for that repair work as well.
Wow. So in that time, the realization comes into play that Charlottetown doesn't have any accessible taxis. Had this been an issue that had been previously flagged?
Absolutely. Paul himself had long been advocating for improved accessible taxi service in his role as executive director of spinal cord injury PEI. Back in 2013, he was interviewed by CBC about his push to convince Charlottetown taxi companies to buy a wheelchair accessible vehicle. At that time, Summerside, the other major city in Prince Edward Island, had been operating a wheelchair accessible taxi for a couple of years and had just added their second, but still there were none in Charlottetown.
So you mentioned Summerside, Charlottetown. What is the overall landscape for accessible transit services in Charlottetown?
So Paul and his fellow wheelchair users did have a small short-lived victory a year after he first brought this concern forward in 2013. At that time, Yellow Cab introduced their first accessible taxi in Charlottetown. Initially, it was only operating between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., but news coverage at that time indicated they were planning to expand to a 24-hour service in July. Unclear if that happened, but it did not last very long, and the service was just completely discontinued within a couple years, likely due to the same sorts of issues we've been experiencing in Halifax with all of the added costs that are faced by the accessible taxi drivers. And it really does get passed down more often than not to the drivers of the individual taxis. And this issue then, of course, resurfaced last year in 2020 after Paul's terrible experience outside the Legion. At that time, CBC spoke to six Charlottetown taxi companies who all confirmed they do not have any accessible taxis on the road, yet they still are operating in Charlottetown. And he's really not just looking out for himself, but for any tourists that may arrive at the Charlottetown airport with mobility concerns. They could wind up in a really terrible situation without accessible transit available to them. So the primary options that people do use are independent accessible transport services. One I've mentioned a few times over the years is the wonderfully named Pat and the Elephant. Unfortunately, these services do have limited capacity. They generally need to be booked a fair ways in advance, and they don't operate past 11 p.m. The Charlottetown Transit, their bus system, does operate accessible buses. Again, very limited routes, and they're off the streets by 10 p.m. So not a lot of flexibility, not much of a chance to take part in the nightlife when nightlife exists. So Paul took up the cause once again, alongside the PEI Council of People with Disabilities, who've also been pursuing solutions on this issue for the last decade.
So where does the story stand now? What's changed since last February and where we are today in regards to accessible taxi services in Charlottetown?
So Paul did speak with the mayor, and soon after, a new committee was formed, and that included members of council, police, taxi companies, Pat and the Elephant, and the PEI Council of People with Disabilities. They met with Paul and got to work on a solution. The mayor told CBC at the time he wanted to study the taxi bylaws of other cities like Summerside, see why they were faring better than Charlottetown, and see what improvements could be made, and also looking into ensuring transit buses are accessible on all their routes. Pat and the Elephant also were looking into extending their hours as a temporary solution, but they can't meet all of the demand just themselves. And just about a month later, so just recently, the province announced the new $95,000 rebate program, with an additional $5,000 coming from Charlottetown to subsidize the purchase of accessible taxis for wheelchair users. So the rebate is expected to cover 20% of the vehicle's cost. And for anybody applying, it would be up to a maximum $10,000 rebate. So pretty simple math to see that this would potentially get 10 accessible taxis on the road by, you know, saving them $10,000 off their purchase price apiece. And then, you know, that's great, where there were none in Charlottetown. And they are hoping to get four or five of these taxis on the road in Charlottetown and the rest spread out across the province.
So, Ryan, we've talked about this issue before, certainly extensively on the Halifax front. You mentioned it earlier, and we've spoken to you before about this in full segments, about a dwindling supply of accessible taxis on the roads. And though it's great to see this action being taken in PEI right now in terms of trying to find a quick solution to a big problem, what's your take on this current solution?
I'm a bit of a cynic, and we've really, you know, we've had solutions in Halifax and they didn't pan out, and we're trying something new this fall. And I feel like this is kind of replaying itself in Charlottetown. You know, hopefully the vehicles they're getting on the road through this, and it is a positive to get some vehicles on the road, will be enough to meet demand, but I'm unsure if it'll be enough support to keep them on the road. So again, that's $10,000 up front to subsidize the purchase of an accessible vehicle. But as we found in Halifax, the wear and tear, the cost of operating these vehicles is a lot more than your average taxi. So the suspension, the other parts have a lot more wear and tear with the wheelchairs, the ramps, the hydraulics. The driver often has to travel further to pick up the passengers who really require his taxi. They won't just take anybody, because then they're maybe depriving somebody who can only use that taxi. And also just extra time to load, unload, to help the passengers. And they can't, you know, just grab the most convenient fare. And it would be discriminatory to pass those extra costs along to the customers. So we'll see how it all pans out. In the short term, people, you know, once this gets rolling, you know, hopefully by the summer, fall, they'll have more options and it'll be a big boost. But whether or not it starts to falter, hopefully they'll catch that and right the ship before those accessible taxi roof lights go dim.
Yeah, that's well put. That's definitely a good critical thought applied to that. Ryan, we've only got a couple minutes left here, but I do want to talk to you. It's the first time we've had a chance to speak with you since some tighter COVID-19 restrictions came into place in Halifax. And we did get a chance to speak to Milena Kazanavicius last week and Laura Bain the week before. But I'm wondering, what's the temperature like in Halifax right now? How are people doing with some of these restrictions?
We definitely don't feel quite so privileged anymore. Everybody thought this was the place to be during COVID, and a lot of people moved here. You know, relatives of mine have moved here from Ontario. You know, it's nice to have some new citizens and, you know, some maybe tourists as well. But definitely it's been quite disheartening for a lot of people. You know, I hadn't been getting out much, but I'd had tickets to see Laura's play, her theatrical debut, and dinner reservations. First time I'd made an appointment in quite a long time, but that got scuttled. Was still able to catch the play virtually, but still not quite the same as being in a dark theater and watching her, you know, work the stage and with all of her fellow actors. So, you know, that's little things have been disappointing, obviously. You know, things are shutting down. We work a lot with with different community groups. And so a lot of their programming that we were hoping to, you know, highlight isn't happening for the time being. But, you know, spirits are still, I think, pretty high. Big push on testing for people who are asymptomatic or who were at an exposure site. But, you know, when we, you know, at our max, we're seeing maybe 40 cases a day, and that was quite rare. We've been in quite a spiral, and I personally thought it would start to, we'd see the tide start to stem a little bit last week, but it hasn't quite happened yet. But hopefully by the end of this week, we'll start to see the numbers taper off. But yeah, it's been, you know, discouraging. I think probably pretty typical for most people's COVID experiences, but the Atlantic bubble has burst. Mm. And hopefully we'll be able to get back on course and see things start clearing up in time for summer. So hopefully a little bit of pain now and people can be back out and enjoying themselves a bit more in the summer.
Well, Ryan, we're wishing you well. Thank you for sharing that perspective for us on the ground. We're always so appreciative. Have yourself a nice day, and we'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
Sounds great. Take care, Dave.
That's Ryan Delahanty. He's a content development specialist for us at AMI and joined us this morning from Halifax, Nova Scotia. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.